Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. I want to say thank you for joining us this morning. It is nice to be alive. It's nice to have another opportunity to serve God. You know, sometimes we get up and we get on our merry way and we serve ourselves. We know exactly what we need to do when we need to do it and jump up and say, you know, I got to go here by 10 and over there by 12 and then come back over here by 1 and da, 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 da. And you just plan your day out, not even knowing if you're going to have the day or if you're going to be here at 1 o'clock, you know. But first, giving thanks when you get up, that's the wonderful thing. Always thanking God for the opportunity to serve Him. That's our main purpose here. There's no other role that we should play except the role that is written inside of the will of God. So I'm not going to preach to you early this morning. Just want to say good morning. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. The sun is out. It is absolutely a gorgeous day. I think spring is about to, what did it say? Yes, you know, the days are longer and just a good time to go camping, RVing. You know, most people know me, know that I'm an RVer and I have an RV and I'm just excited about getting on the road and going out and doing some marvelous things, picking up a few friends and going out and hanging out into the nature or just basically getting on the highway and doing what I do. But we'll talk about that at another time. But before I get started this morning, I just want to say today I'm soloing today without my co-hosts. They're both engaged in other appointments today. And so I'm back to where I began. You know, that's why you always got to know that you can do it with or without. But I do miss them because it's just so much interesting to have them and their comments and their thoughts and things that God has placed on their heart to share. But in the meantime, let us give God thanks. Father God, we just thank you this morning for the opportunity to get up and to serve you today. We thank you in advance for all the blessings that you have prepared for us. And we thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, whom all things are possible. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, your Spirit that speaks through us, your Spirit that does the work through us. We thank you, Father God. And we thank you this morning, Father God, for the blessings that you are spreading throughout the world. Father God, we thank you for the love that you are sharing throughout the world. We thank you, Father God, for just loving us enough to overlook our sins and our iniquities and being the loving Father that would send someone that could cover us. All that we have done wrong or could do wrong, you send grace and mercy, and all of that comes through Jesus Christ. And you will forgive us if we just only ask for your forgiveness and repent and turn from our wicked ways. And we just thank you this morning for your love. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your prosperity. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you. It is an honor and a pleasure. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. You know, when you say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, you are actually saying to him, thank you for something, even if you don't have it in your hands. It's called that, and that brings us to the title of our program today. Our show is saying, Mothers and Daughters, God in Advance. You know, it's so easy when we thank God for things that we see. You know, things that you see is not faith. When we see something, we believe it. And then again, sometimes I've known people to see things and they still didn't believe it. It's like, nah, that's too good to be true. No, I'm not. I don't even believe it. And then they'll get into the Thomas spirit. Unless I can put my hands on it and touch it and feel it, smell it, taste it, I won't believe it. But you see it, but I won't believe it. Just like Thomas, when they told him Jesus came back. Now, I understand where Thomas is coming from. Thomas is like, now, I know I saw them hanging him on a cross. I saw him gave up his life on the cross. I saw him being put into a tomb. I saw them rolling the stone in front of the grave. I saw that. And you're going to tell me that Jesus came by? He stopped in? And can you imagine Thomas thinking, here's a group of people, and all of them saying that they saw Jesus? That didn't convince Thomas. Thomas probably thought they all was crazy. Like, what happened? I wasn't here, and something happened. They lost their mind. How are you going to see Jesus? Because he's so used to seeing a human body being buried but not being raised from the grave. So now we can't blame Thomas, even though, you know, people say, don't be like Thomas, old doubting Thomas. Well, I think I would have thought basically the same thing. And if you're honest, you would have too. Because if I told you I saw someone and you know that they buried them 2 weeks ago, and I said, well, I saw them at the mall, I saw them, you know, at the grocery store, you was like, nah, something wrong with Dr. Bessie now, because she's either, you know, has Alzheimer's or something's going on, because I know I was at the funeral. I saw him put the casket in the ground. I know it would be hard for you to believe. So we are talking about thanking God in advance for things that you don't see, but you believe. But then when Jesus came back and Thomas running his mouth, and I can only imagine Thomas back being turned, talking to whomever he's talking to, and Jesus standing right behind him and said, Thomas. Now, can you imagine Thomas wanted to take off and run? He probably said, oh my God. But he did said, oh my Jesus. Master, and he said, you touch my hands, put your fingers in the hole in my hand, put your hands in my side, because that's the only way you're going to believe. You got to touch me, because I'm sure that was a shock to Thomas. Now, why am I telling you this story? I'm telling you this story because we have the tendency to tell God sometimes, and sometimes people don't, thank you after he's done something. Now, that's being grateful. That's being appreciative And that's what you should do. Don't get me wrong. Follow the story here. But unlike the Thomas syndrome, there are things that you want. There's things that you need. And you believe in for them. And during that wait time, you're going to have this battle within your intro conversations, those ongoing conversations in your head about, is God going to do it or is he not going to do it? And the enemy is on the side, oh, he's not going to do it. Well, if he's going to do it, he would have done it by now. You know, you asking God for something, why would you ask God for something? God didn't do this and God didn't do that. But if you think about it, there's nothing that you ask God for that he didn't do except the things that you didn't believe. He cannot work for you if you don't believe him. And that only makes sense. Because belief comes with trust. If you believe me, you trust me. If you don't trust me, it's hard for you to believe me. And you wonder, you're thinking God missed you? No. You're in control of what you receive. And you might say, well, Dr. Bessie, how is that? How am I in control when I'm asking God and God's not giving to me? How can I make God do? You know, I didn't say make him do. I said, you're in control. He said, faith moves me. If you believe in someone, if someone believes in you, that is the best feeling in the world. Say, for instance, mother, you have your daughter, and your daughter is 5 years old. That's that little age where they're making that transition. And she asks you for something, and you tell her that you're going to get it for her. And he says, I'm going to get it for you on your birthday. That'll be a good birthday present. And it's just a few weeks away. You got about 3 or 4 weeks and we'll get it for your birthday. And she says, okay, mommy. Now she's going to go away in her mind saying, I'm going to get this on my birthday. And she tells all her little friends, I'm getting so-and-so-and-so for my birthday. How do you know, you know, little kids, how do you know you're going to get it? Because my mommy said so. I asked my mommy and she told me she would get it on my birthday. You know, see, she believes in you. She trusts you. But don't let her birthday come and you don't do it. You don't buy it. You don't get that for her. Don't wait till the last minute and change the gift, and then she's expecting this on her birthday, and you wait till her birthday and tell her, you know, mommy couldn't get it, so mommy got you this. Well, now you just changed the whole dynamics of your mother and daughter relationship, because from now on, she can't trust you. You will tell her you're going to do something, in the back of her mind, she's going to doubt you, because you have set the tone of trust or not trust in the relationship. And from 5 years up, she's going to be building her relationship, her trust, her belief in you, because she's going to remember you lied to her. And I know that might be a strong word, and you mothers, you might say, well, Dr. Fletcher, I didn't really lie. I thought I could do it, and then I didn't, you know, something came up and I couldn't do it. I understand that. But what happened? You waited to the day of her birthday. You need to tell her before the birthday. The minute you realize you couldn't do it, don't wait till the last minute and change it and try to, you know. No, you have the conversation early as possible. Because a birthday is a day that means a lot. People remember birthdays. People remember Christmas and holidays. Those are days that they will always remember if something happened on that day that alters that day for them. And every time they have that particular day to experience again, they will remember. So every birthday she will remember You did not get her what she wanted at 5 when you promised that you were going to do it. So God is the same way with us. He wants us just to trust him. He wants us to go back and look and say, you know, just go back in your life, Bessie, and look at all the things that you believed that I would do for you that I didn't do. And I tell you, I cannot say one thing that I believed that God was going to do and he didn't do. So his record is impeccable. He has 100%. Now, if you come to God and you ask him for something and you got doubt, I don't know if he'll do it for me because I wasn't good. I'm still sinning and I still this and, you know, and I did that and I did the other. He can't do nothing for you because he told you. Faith moves me. Don't worry about it. He said it rains on the just and the unjust, meaning that my word is not going to change because you are not living a perfect life. My word does not vary because you made a mistake yesterday. That's you. And then you get into doubt and you don't believe that God will do it for you because you did something wrong. And that's a good opportunity to move this in to the conversation. That's why you need to be saved. See, once you save and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what is saved is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, asking God to forgive you for your sins. And then sin no more. So that means now you're covered. Jesus will cover all your sins. So you don't have to feel condemned and unworthy and justifying why God won't do something for you. He said, my word will not return to me void. And it will not. It has nothing to do with you. If you believe in his word, it's going to work. Like people go out and say, you know, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. And they believe that in the name of Jesus that you healed. And what happened? You're healed. You believe it, you receive it. It's just that simple. You believe it, you receive it. You doubt it, you don't receive it. Because Jesus said, many people call my name. Many people use my name, but they don't know me. They don't have a relationship with me. But they still can say in the name of Jesus and miracles happen. Why is that? Because the power is in the name of Jesus. If you say it and you believe it, it's going to work. Even Satan can say in the name of Jesus and it will work. Doesn't mean that you don't need to get your life together. It doesn't mean that you can go straight to hell. But in his name, there's the power. And that's just like with some certain groups of people. They believe that they're superior. They believe that they're supposed to be treated in a certain manner. They believe that they're above certain groups of people. And I'm not just talking about one race over the other. I'm talking about groups and organizations and things. You know, whatever you believe is what you receive. So you can't blame somebody for believing in something and receiving it when you can simply believe and receive too. The word works for all. It works for all. Doesn't mean you won't go to hell. It just means that if you use the word of the Lord, the power is in his word. So I'm trying to get you lined up in your thoughts so that when we go back to this title, Mothers and Daughters Thanking God in Advance. The only way you can thank God in advance is when you believe that he will do it. And you believe that he will do it in such a way that you're going to thank him in advance. Thank you. If your boss came to you and said, Mary, I'm going to give you a raise, additional $10 an hour, and I'm going to start that raise. You'll start getting it in your next paycheck. What's the first thing you want to tell your boss? The first thing that'll come out of your mouth. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. $10 additional on to what I'm making an hour? You will say thank you. You will believe and you will start planning for that 10 extra dollars an hour. That's additional, what, $400 a week. So now you said, you know what? Now I can get that car. I was trying to figure out how I could get the car, and the car is only $295 a month. That'll leave me some extra anyway, so I can get the car now. You'll go out and start looking for that car. Probably the time you get off from work, go straight to the dealership. Because you know, you believe that you're going to get that $400. So you go out there and you get go to the car dealer and you look at the car and you go ahead and sign the contract and you ride out with the car before you even get the $400 because you believed what your boss told you, a man, a woman. So now you got the car believing that you're going to get the $10 an hour. And then all of a sudden you get your paycheck. And when you get your paycheck, you're looking for the additional $400 on your check. And then your boss comes, you go to your boss and say, well, you know, I thought I was supposed to receive an additional $400 on my check this week. And he said, oh, yeah, Mary, I meant to tell you that's what I wanted to do, but the board wouldn't approve it. Now, how will you feel? You're going to feel angry, upset, just bought a car, believing that what he told you was going to happen. Then you tell him, well, I went out and I bought a car because I thought you said, and now I'm in debt and I can't afford the car because you told me this, that, and the other. See, but you trusted him, a man. So why won't you trust God? Your creator, the person that made you, the person knows exactly when he's going to call you home. He knows exactly to the second how long you're going to be on this earth. The person that knows every hair on your head, the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows every thought. He rides with you. He sees everything you do, everything you think about, all conversations. Everything you hear, taste, smell, see, feel. But yet, you have a problem believing the word of God. It's amazing to me how we will trust man over trusting the person that created you. Man can't heal you. Man cannot provide for you. Yeah, you may find somebody that have few hundred dollars, $1,000, and they may share something with you. But man's subject to change their mind at any given time, or give you something today and not give it to you tomorrow. And, you know, and where do they get theirs from? They believe theirs in. You got to believe it in. Anything you want, you have to believe it in. That means you got to have faith. So if you're going to believe in something, why not just go ahead and thank God for it? Let him know, you know what, God, I believe your word. I believe when I asked you for it, you said yes. And so if you really believe that, then you say, thank you, God. I believe it. And I know you're going to deliver it to me, and I'll wait on you. And you're going about your business. You thank him just like you would thank the boss for the $10 an hour that you hadn't seen. But you thanked him then in advance before you received it. Yet in that story, he didn't get the $10 an hour approved from the board probably before he told you. That was his idea. Or it simply could be that you did something or said something to someone on the job and they told the boss, and then he says, you know what, I was going to give her $10 an hour, but I'm not now. So he judged you. He changed his mind because you did what? You made a mistake. You did something that he didn't like. But God will never tell you yes and change his mind. You can depend on that. And to really let him know, I trust you, God. I'm going to thank you in advance. I'm just going to say thank you. Thank you, God, in advance, because I know you said yes. And I know you're a man that cannot lie. So thank you. That is the greatest appreciation you can give to God. Thank you, God, in advance, and I'll wait on you because I know you will give it to me. I know because you said yes, and I know you won't change your mind. So we take a page out of God's book, the Bible, and we look at it, and we look at faith, trust, honesty, love, peace, forgiveness, kindness, self-control, patience, goodness. Let's look at grace and mercy. Faith, favor, wisdom, understanding. All those things have been given to you. You have them. But do we use them? Let's look at love. Love your neighbor as you would love yourself. And your neighbor is the person that's next to you at any given time in the grocery store. See, I think people think when they say neighbor, they're thinking neighborhood. They're thinking, you know, the house next door or the house across the street. But your neighbor is the closest person to you at any given time. So if you're passing someone on the street, that's your neighbor for right there. That's the closest person to you. Are you extending love? And you said, well, I don't know them. Why would I extend them love? And, you know, what am I? No, the smile on your face. If we all walked around and greeted everyone with a loving smile, do you know how your day would be? I'm telling you, you would be on cloud nine. You know, when you walk around and someone look at you and give you a beautiful smile and the eyes and their cheekbones are up and, you know, the smile on their face and they're saying, you know, hello to you. It's an energy force of love that will change the dynamics of your day. I'm telling you, and you know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. It's just about as good as someone that you think that you've fallen in love with. And they call you, good morning, how are you? I'm fine, how are you? You know, you get into, you switch roles because the energy is loving and it's touching a certain part of your body where your energy is flowing and you're just like, oh, yeah. And you say, thank you. See, we can thank everybody. And when I say body, everybody, I'm saying everybody. The body itself, the human that's walking around. But then we don't think to thank God because we don't see the body of God. Well, good news is, and let me tell you this, everybody you see is the body of God. Everybody that you see is the body of God. He created with Adam. Let's create him. Let's create man in our image. Who is our? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's give him a mind, the mind of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and a body, the body of Christ. That's the our. So now you're walking around in the Trinity. You have a mind, body, and a soul. And sometimes I think we forget that. We think that we belong to ourselves. We think that our mama had us, you know, my mama had me, really. Your mother cannot create a human being. God created all humans, and he selected the woman to pass through. We are the ones that humans pass through. There's no human being can come on the earth without a woman. That was the design of God. Men cannot pass through another human being onto the earth. And it is a pass through. You ask any woman when she's in labor, it is something else to push a human out of you into the earth. I still don't understand it. Even though I went through it, it is just the most amazing thing to have a baby. And I wonder sometimes, wow, how some women can have 4, 5, 6, 10 children. Boy, I take my hat off to them because that's not a party. It is not a party. They are the most strongest, they are my sheroes, I'm telling you. To bring that many humans into the earth, what a blessing. They're willing, they believe, and they receive. And God gets to enter the earth in many different personalities. Excuse me. So, thank God in advance. If you want your husband, and it seems like everybody's getting married but me, I cannot find my right person. And you say, my soulmate, you know, I don't know, soulmate can be overrated, I think, but I think your soulmate is Christ, you know, but that's just me. But my right person, then just thank God in advance. God, I thank you in advance for introducing me to my husband. God, I thank you for healing my body. the healing powers of Jesus Christ working through my body. I thank you, God, for saving my house. I thank you, God, for that new job, or that position I want. I thank you, God. Once you ask him for what you want, then just constantly thank him. I thank you in advance. Now I want you to know I appreciate it. And I believe that you're doing what I asked you to do. And I believe that I receive it. See, the universe is geared that everything moves and aligns itself when you believe God. Things come together and they're pointed in your direction. Now, the only thing that will stop it from reaching you is when you change your mind. And that's where the enemy is so crafty. You do all of that, and then one day something happens. You think God's going to do that. God is not going to do that. Why would he do that? Da, 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 da. And then you start having this conversation with Satan. And I tell people, when you start having a conversation with Satan, you're going to lose. You are not going to win that battle because he's trickery. He knows how to get you off. He knows how to get you all into your head and doubt and telling you about who, what you've done and who like you and don't like you. And you get caught up in that. And all of a sudden you have that little doubt. So you don't have to have, you have faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can receive, you can have doubt the size of a mustard seed and not receive. You get that one little doubt, and then all of a sudden, the angels that's going to deliver to you have to stop in their tracks. Wait, hold it. She doesn't believe anymore. They turn around, and then you wonder why you didn't receive it. Not God. You changed your mind. And when you change your mind, you stop all actions. But if you believe something, you're going to believe it in, just like the five-year-old. That's why he says, unless you have the mind of a child, because a child will believe their parents. If their parents told them something, especially when they know you're not a liar, they've seen you produce. And I can tell you from my own experience. If I asked my mother for something and she said yes, I'm telling you, I never even thought to doubt her. Or my daddy. If I asked daddy for something, he said, he would say to me, daddy's going to do that. That's the way he said, daddy's going to do it. Daddy's going to do it. I would brag and tell them, this is what I'm doing, my friends, or, you know, tell the family, you know, I'm getting this, I'm getting that. Because daddy said or mother said. Because the one thing I can say that my mother was very good at, she would not answer you yes until she was sure. Now, I can appreciate that now. But as a child, I would be waiting on her to say yes to something. And I said, Mother, I asked you, what are you? She said, well, Mother's still thinking about it. Well, I'm thinking as a child, what's there to think about? I asked you, all you got to do is say yes or no. But she was very careful with that. Because if she told me yes, she knew she could make that happen. My mother's never told me yes on something that she did not do. And I know people say, well, that seems like highly impossible. No, she was one of those people, let her yes be yes and her no be no. And that was good and that was bad. Especially when I got up as a teenager and I wanted to go somewhere. And because I may have done something she didn't like, or I was on punishment for something. And she said, and I said, well, Mother, can I go to the game Friday night? And she said, no, you cannot go. Well, I don't care how I tried. I don't care what I've done. I don't care. She was not going to change her mind. She was not going to change her mind. So I can just go somewhere and sit down. People, you going to the game Friday night? No, I won't be going. Because I knew not to come back and try to ask her to change her mind. I have done that too. And she said, what did I say? I said, but mother, you know, and I try to give her all, they always said I should have been an attorney. I would try to give her all of the cases and reasons why I should go, and I'd apologize for what I'd done. I don't know. I was always into something. I was an only child, so, you know, I didn't have any siblings or anybody that could kind of help me out, and she didn't have nobody else that she could practice on but me. So I was the model. You know, I was it. And so it was no. So I'd stay home, watch the game, and watch television and hear about the game the next day and what my friends did. So, but it aligned me to be careful, because I knew if I asked her something and it looks like she was headed toward no, I would stop her. Mother, please don't say it. Don't say it. Think about it. I would stop her before she said it, because I knew I was not going to get that. But if she told me yes, I never, ever thought. And even to doubt her. And even my daughter, who spent the summers with my mother and dad, was raised that way. And we were talking about this a few months ago. And she said, you know what? I never, ever heard Grandmama say we didn't have the money. She didn't have money to do something. Or Granddaddy said they didn't have the money to do something when I asked them. And I told her, I said, I was raised that way. I was never told we can't afford it. That was never told to me. And so I was raised that way. My daughter was raised that way. And she raised her children that way. Never, we always believed that we would receive. And we've been blessed in so many ways. But I thought I was rich when I was little. I really did. Because everything I asked for, somehow or another, they made it happen. I was the baby of the grands. The only girl in that capacity. There was one other girl that was a grand, but she was basically the age of my mother. So there was a big difference between us. And everybody else was boys. So there was just a lot of doting on me, and aunts buying me stuff and clothes. And I had an aunt in D.C. that would just send all kinds of stylish clothes down. You know, had to do a lot of fighting, because the kids thought I was better than they were. And I'm just trying to live. But I'm saying all of that to say this. The way you raised your daughter or your son, and the way you display your truth, they will believe in you. So when you tell them you're going to do something, they will trust you. Well, don't you think that that's all God wants from us? That's all God wants from us. He's just saying, I created you. I love you. I don't want you to be harmed. I don't want you to be sick. I don't want you to be poor. I don't want you to need anything. That's why he said all of your needs are met. If you ask God for something, you say, God, I need this. I need you to do this for me. I need you. I need you. God is going to respond to you. It's impossible. He said, all your needs are met. So if you go to God and says, I need you, he's going to respond. His reputation is on the line, not your reputation. His word. Before my word become void, heaven and earth will pass away. Now, you think that you're going to ask God to meet a need and he's not going to do it and heaven and earth is going to pass away? Your need is not that great. Think about it. Your need is not that great that he can't do it with a blink of an eye. It's nothing. He created heaven and earth in 6 days and sit down. All that you see, all that you know. Even though we think, oh, technology, it is, you know, that times are different from when we were young and kids and so much things are being developed and created now. All of these things were created from the beginning of time. Nothing that we're experiencing has not been from the beginning of time. We are just going down the road of time and experiencing what we experience as we travel down this journey. But we're traveling a journey and on a road that already been prepared. You think God didn't know about the internet? You think God didn't know about the wars and the rumors of wars and the turmoil and everything that's happening in the world today? And everybody's like, oh, this is happening, that is happening. I say it too. I'm like, man, people are crazy right now. He knew this little patch of war, and he knew that the virus would be in this area of our lives on this part of the journey. He knew that from the beginning of time. Why would he do that? Why would he put us in this position? I know that's something someone is thinking. Why would he do that? You know, sometimes God will allow things to happen to draw us closer to him. We don't come to God basically until we need something. Most people, if you have all the money that you need to have to exchange for anything that you want to exchange, you probably wouldn't even talk to God. You would forget about God. You would forget that he's the one that gave you the money. He's the one that created you. He's the one that provided for you whatever you have in your position. He gave it to you. But for some reason, you think, oh, I created this business. I made this money. This has nothing to do with God. Really? You made your mind too? You create your body? You created your spirit? You created your wisdom? You created your understanding? You created your eyes, your tongue, did you create all that? Think about it. Why would you leave God out? Why would you leave God out? Once you realize that you are really not your own owner, you're not. I am is just what it says. Every time you say I am, you are saying God. Because God said to Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Go tell them. Moses said, who do I tell them that sent me? You know, I'm going to tell them, you know, something told me to tell you. Who do I tell them? Or what's your name? I am that I am. So every time you say I am, you are calling on the name of God. See, God is real crafty. He built in certain things that he know that you will worship him. He knows that you will worship him. He's got certain things that if it happens in your life, you're going to say Jesus. You're going to call on the name of God. You're going to call on the Holy Spirit. You're going to say it. It's just going to come out of your mouth. It's going to come out of your mouth. And just think how many times she says, I am. But the sad thing about it, are you blessing God or are you cursing God? Now, if you're cursing God and then you want to thank God for something, you know, come on. It doesn't, or ask God for something, how are you going to ask him for something when you curse him all day? Because then he know you don't believe in him. You're in doubt. You can thank him all day long in doubt, and you're still not going to receive. How is that? How is it that I'm in doubt? You can say, I am sick of so-and-so. Every time I turn around, and it's always something negative following it. That's cursing God. Because God is not sick. God is not anything that's negative. So every time you say, I am, and you put a negative word, you are cursing God. You are saying, I don't believe in God. But if you say, I am well, I am healthy, I am blessed, I am rich, I am famous, you can say whatever you want as long as it's a positive word. I am a believer of Christ. See, the I ams with positive, it builds your faith. It builds your faith. You keep saying, I am this and I am that, and you look in the mirror and you see yourself in the mirror and you just keep calling yourself, I am. I'm beautiful. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm loved. I am in control of myself. All of those I ams are blessings, and they build your faith. So when you go to God to ask him for something, and you say, God, you're asking God, thank you. I thank you in advance for it. You will believe that he's going to do that because you've already gotten yourself. Your mind is conditioned to think of God as good. And if he's good, he cannot be bad. Those two things cannot rest in the same spot. So God is good. And you hear people say, God is good. And somebody say, all the time, he said, all the time, God is good. And then it began to be just a cliche, you know, just rolling off the top of your tongues. But do you understand what that means? Does it have some place in your heart that it resonated, comes from a place of love when you say it? God is good. God is good. See, that comes from a different place. And someone might say, yeah. Yes, he is. That's a different kind of God is good. Yes, he is. Then God is good. Yes, he is. Where's that coming from? See, what I'm trying to teach you is that you've got to be able to build your faith in God. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Those four words, the whole Bible, every Bible story is built upon those four words. Have faith in God. Because if you don't have faith in God, then you are not going to receive from God. Why would he give to someone that don't believe? You don't believe in me, then why are you asking me for something? If you don't believe in me, then you don't believe in me, then you won't believe that I will give it to you. All the miracles in the Bible was because they believed in God. All the prophets, all the people that he sent his Holy Spirit to talk to, told them what to do, and they did it. Because what? They believed in God. Now we're in the New Testament. And he says what? Jesus is the way. Before, you had to kill lambs and spread the blood, and you had to do a ritual to clean up your sins. And now we have one lamb, the Lamb of God, that was sacrificed for all of our sins. And you said, I don't believe in Jesus, but I believe in God. And he says, how can you love me when you can't love your neighbor? Jesus walked the earth, whom many have seen, but you can't love him, but you love me, whom you have not seen. It sounds like a hypocrite. So until you really get your relationship right with God and establish the type of relationship you have with God, it's going to be hard for you to have faith in God. Now, you know there are people in your lives that you say, I don't trust her as far as I can throw her. Whatever comes out of her mouth, I just let it roll off my back like water on a duck. You know, these are little sayings that people say. When I see her coming, I know there's a lie going to come out of her mouth. I don't pay attention. I don't believe nothing that she says. And I know you've heard these comments before. I don't believe nothing that she says. She's just a liar. So why would I believe her? And no matter what that person does, you've already got her measured up. You already got her in a space in your head where you have the line drawn that I don't believe her. And she can talk all day and all night, and you're looking right in her face going, and in your mind going, you lying. And as you grin and look at her, you're lying. But what happened when the person has made a change, has given her life to God, and she's reborn and she's a new creature now, and you see her coming and you're still judging, and she's telling you something, and you got your old judgment hat on, and you don't believe her? Don't go down 40, because there are rocks, boulders just falling off side the road, has hit a couple cars. And you decide, she's such a liar. I'm not going all the way out of my way on the other side, 85, to get home, because she's just a liar. You go down 40. You don't see anything. And you say, see, I knew she was lying. And all of a sudden, a big boulder rock just fell on top of your car. Killed you because you already assessed someone and you didn't believe. Why did I give you that story before I leave? It's because we got to be able to adjust our mind, not judge. We got to believe and trust in God and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that will check you and tell you, listen, she's telling you the truth. And that's what I like about the Holy Spirit. He lets me know exactly who's in front of me, and when people are telling me something that's good for me, and when they're telling me something that's not bad. In order to do that, you got to go through Jesus to receive the Holy Spirit. But none of that works if you don't have faith in God, because God is the creator. He is the beginning and he is the end. That's it. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, mothers and daughters, that's our show. Again, the title is Mothers and Daughters. Thank God in advance. And when you thank God in advance, he knows that you believe in him, that you have faith that he will do it. And he will. Have a great week. God bless you. And we'll see you next Saturday. Goodbye.